Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you this morning.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing fine, radiant, rare indigo.
All right.
To conquer all evils out there.
That's right.
But, you know, there's a lot of people in Washington that would like to because they know we're exceptional, and they go about the world looking for evil,
That's right.
They're going to conquer it. But I'd like to deal more with what's happening here because I think we have more authority, both legal and moral authority, to maybe make the best out of what our government is and try to keep rein them in when they get out of control. But, you know, we just recently saw, and it's been written up now, about the NDAA, the military bill being passed, authorization. And this is always a big bill, a lot of money. And guess what? It involves the military-industrial complex and a few other things. And usually they put all partisanship aside and they join together. So they had a conference this week. And the conference made it a lot worse.
Yeah.
This was one of my biggest gripes in Washington, that you work, you go through committees and you talk for hours and hours, subcommittees, full committees, hours and hours, and vote and do this. And then you take the bill, which is relatively, modified and support all the people. Then it goes to the Rules Committee, and they can rewrite the whole thing if they want.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after you get through the Rules Committee, then you go to the floor and you pass something in the House and the Senate. And then there's still disagreements by the establishment. And guess where it's finally written? And that, of course, is in the conference. And this is what we're talking about. In the conference, there were some decent approaches and attempts to rein in the foreign policy. And so they went to the conference and they made the bill worse to the delight of Republican leadership and Democratic leadership.
Yeah.
Can you believe that they're like that? But that's sort of typical. But I always think about it when, you know, we have serious teachers in public schools teaching about civics and explain how it goes through the system, but they never give the conclusion on what really happens. And of course, the biggest issue is what is the motivation to do all this stuff. But anyway, they took out some things that would have restrained, our involvement in Iran, and also discontinuing the money for Yemen. They put that money back in, so they didn't do anything to make it any better. And but there was no objection. And the impeachment thing is serious, and it's probably a very big deal for some people. But, I think that when the big issue comes, when the big money comes, even on trade agreements, you know, they can suspend their animosity and get a trade bill to satisfy special interests. Never, they talk about free trade bills and all this stuff, but what they're talking about is more management, who gets to manage it. And that's the same way with the pretense on this on these military expenditures to make us safe and secure and have a strong military. But unfortunately, the people get stuck with this bill. And right now, it's not a problem because the markets are still accepting, what's going on, and more spending and more printed money and more interference with our privacy doesn't seem to worry anybody. So one of these days, I hope we're more successful in waking up more people to what's really going on.
And we wanted to do this topic today kind of as a follow-up to yesterday, because yesterday we talked about how $1 trillion was spent in Afghanistan over 18 years, and this documentation came out showing they knew all along that it was a total failure. They knew the money was wasted and being burned and thrown away. They knew it all along. All Washington knew this, and nobody cared. And so here we go again. It's as if nothing happened. It's kind of like the disappointment after we found out from Snowden about all the spying on us. People got a little bit upset for a few weeks, and then they went on, oh, yeah, they reformed that. It's all taken care of. But this is a $738 billion bill. Everything is thrown in but the kitchen sink and then some. And you mentioned a couple of small measures, and Antiwar.com did a good write-up on this. A couple of small measures to slightly slow the bad stuff thrown out in committee. As you point out, the members don't have any say when it goes to the committee. But here's a couple of them, as you sort of suggested. A measure to limit U.S. participation with the Saudis in the ongoing genocidal war in Yemen. Just to limit a little bit, the same Saudis that go to our bases and shoot up people, you know, but no, that's okay. They overturn that, that's fine. An amendment stating that congressional authorization is needed for an attack on Iran. Is that controversial?
Or should we really need it?
Yeah. And I read this actually, and this, you've heard this before on the Hill. You can read this logic to be an authorization, because a measure saying that you need to be approved is defeated. That almost by default is a kind of authorization. And trust me, they'll use that. Well, you didn't say we couldn't. And the other is the language stripping the Pentagon from the ability to do research on usable nukes.
Yeah.
They cut that out. So keep going. And that adds, of course, danger and uncertainty. Because other countries, our adversaries, Russia and China, are going to see this and be concerned. So it actually makes us a lot less safer.
And, you know, this number pops up and everybody's using it now because it's in this particular bill, the $738 billion, which is a lot of money. But that's not the whole picture. You know, when you add up everything that affects our foreign policy and our militarism, most people estimate that it's easily over $1 trillion. And you mentioned about the nukes. There was a prohibition against using it to develop, small nukes. And the argument was, well, we need these smaller ones because we need them to be more usable, you know, like you say. And that's the way they think. But that money, was put back in to be able to develop that. But that argument was going on for a long time. So we're still in the nuke business. And
yeah.
Of course, we got out of a token type of an agreement with Iran and others that we wouldn't be developing these things. And then we break it. We get out of that treaty. Then we blame them for not obeying the treaty. So, yeah, the nukes business is still alive and well, which is sad. And you'd think maybe that would make a bipartisan fight. Maybe there'd be a contest between, the people who don't like what's going on. But the leadership seemed to respond rather well to the people who manage the welfare warfare state.
Yeah, and this nukes program is a jobs program. They're going to bring a lot of people are going to be developing this. And it's actually kind of sad because you think at some of our top universities, some of these young people studying nuclear engineering and nuclear sciences, they are going to be pulled away by the big dollars that come from the big defense contractors. Hey, have a great career. Come help us build little mini nukes. You'll make a lot of money. And all this brain drain from useful things. What about more? What about safer nuclear energy? What about research into alternatives, thorium, and all these things that people are talking about? Nope, that's all gone because the money is all going into building nuclear weapons. It's very sad what we're doing to ourselves and to our futures.
I don't know exactly which Democrat said that. It could have been Pelosi. But they, had restrictions in the bill on how to use this money to give Congress to say. They said, the Democrats said, the reason we wanted those restrictions is because we don't trust the president.
Yeah.
So we're going to restrain him and keep him from doing it. But then they caved in and gave him this authority anyway. It had nothing to do with policy or war or peace or common sense or the Constitution. Well, if we can keep that president, because by the way, we do believe the president should have this power. It's just that we can't trust the president to do this. Well, I don't trust anybody out there for that. That isn't the way our government is supposed to be run. It's supposed to be, a reflection of the people through a congressional vote, not this stuff that hardly ever anything gets done, especially in foreign policy, with the consent of the people. Only afterwards the people get upset. Oh, after 19 years, 18, 19 years, maybe there's something wrong with our policy in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And a few people wake up. But we'll keep plugging away at trying to get people more interested.
And some of the other bad stuff that's been in the NDAA for years and years, since I think 2010, now that's still in there. That's not touched. Representative Amash from Michigan, when it was in the House for debate, for consideration, he did introduce an amendment to strike the indefinite detention measures in the bill. Of course, that was defeated. because we can't have trials for people. They might be terrorists.
Yeah, that's right. And what do we do with a true whistleblower? You know, Edward Snowden. You know, his life is practically destroyed, and he doesn't have a country, and he has to be, you know, protected by Russians who
ironically.
And of course, nobody right now, at least in Washington, not many would ever recognize that as a humanitarian thing, and that Snowden was on the right track. But he was, and he was telling us something, and that's been the case. But they don't get rewarded. But you can have an anonymous whistleblower. I often think maybe the approach ought to be on this anonymous whistleblower is just put out a press release. He really doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
Let prove that he exists.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, that they should have. Well, that's off our particular subject, except for the fact of whistleblowers, the abuse of all that concern, and how it was used in the impeachment.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, but they did keep some of these things in here. Here's what survived the chopping block. Language sanctioning Russia for building a gas pipeline to Germany, right? Because this is, how dare you build a pipeline to sell your gas to Germany? And of course, the other was money to create a space force, which of course is another jobs program, militarization of space. It'll cost trillions of dollars and of course will make us less safe, because that'll mean other countries have to put their stuff in space and so on and so on. But like you always say, there's a lot of bipartisanship in this bill. The warfare welfare state is alive and well. The Democrats allowed the creation of this space force in exchange for the Republicans caving on 12 weeks of paid parental leave for federal workers.
Oh, well, that's important, too. But you know, at the conference, they discontinued the restrictions placed on using money for the border wall. So Trump, looks like to me, he had a victory there. No, there are no restrictions. He's going to do it. But, of course, he has to put up with the courts, you know, on that. But you wonder how that comes about with all that fighting and fuming. Then all of a sudden, Pelosi and that crowd said, oh, I guess we'll let them have the money for that. And sometimes, like 99% of the time, everything is political, you know, when they're, you know, how to spin it and what they can do. But ultimately, the big stuff, we never got very many votes against this particular bill because we had to protect ourselves. And if they started cutting, if they actually had a real cut in the military budget, I mean, there would be it would be the incentive. It would be bad because there would be the incentive to have a false flag and something go on and they'll create a crisis. Oh, see what happened. And that's it. You know, that's why we need this money. And the money would be put back in that afternoon.
Yeah. You know? Well, remember what happened when they had the sequester and everyone, freaked out. We're about to be invading. Now, the Russians, they look at our budget. Oh, good. They cut a few bucks. Let's get the tanks going. Onward to Alaska. But of course, they never really cut any of that spending during the sequester even. They just did it off the books. They did different ways of moving the money around. There was never any real reduction in spending. And now it's just, bombs away.
So Trump was more honest about it. He was right out in the open. We're not going to follow that thing. And it doesn't even exist anymore. There are no pretense.
Yeah, there are no breaks on it. And, you know, we read a decent article in Common Dreams, which is a left-leaning progressive, about some of the progressives on the Democrat side, were disappointed and everything. But I have sort of a beef with their approach, because I think they're missing the point. They interviewed one of the left groups, Win Without War, which is not a bad group at all. And they're complaining about how, the Democrats, we got rolled by the Republicans. They're such weak negotiators. I think they're missing the point, because this is not Democrats anti-war versus Republicans pro-war. It's not at all. I mean, here's the deal. Hey, give us some weeks off for parental leave, and we'll give you a space force. Okay, that sounds good. Money for everyone.
You know, the economy is perking along. We don't have a major economic crisis, but I suspect it's still coming. And when you think about all the time and the energy that's put into the impeachment process, and they say, well, it's gridlock now. We can hardly get anything passed. Well, the one answer to that is the big stuff. They are going to get passed. But maybe there is a benefit for the concentration and ignoring some of these things. Oh, we don't get this passed. We don't get this passed. So maybe that's what's helping the economy too. They're not adding on to it, but it's sort of just a distortion that we have now. But it's going to change because the policies haven't changed, and there's too much similarity. They want to run the show. It's a power struggle, but there's no restraints on the intrusion of liberty by the Republicans or the Democrats, and no restraints on spending. Conservative Republicans, there's pretty good studies made that they probably average spending more money than the Democrats do. And, of course, the foreign policy is not that much worse. It's bad with both sides.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, I have mixed feelings about this 12-week off parental leave. I kind of wish they'd have 52 weeks off, you know, just get out. You know, it'd be a lot, probably save us a lot in the long run if they would just stay home. Well, I'm just going to close by thanking everyone again for participating in the month of November and making your donations to get Dr. Paul's book on bankruptcy. We had a wonderful, wonderful response. We're both delighted and heartened that there's so much support for what we do and for this program. If you missed it, don't worry. We'll have some more promotions coming up, but we appreciate everyone who participated. I've been a little under the weather, but we're going to be mailing those booklets. We're actually stuffing the envelopes as I speak. I'm not doing it as I speak, but we're stuffing them as I speak. We'll get those out. We're also going to roll everyone's name in the credits when we get everyone's name put together as a thank you for being part of the show. Because by donating with your tax-deductible donation to the Ron Paul Institute, you really are a part of this show. So thank you very much.
Very good. And I want to just close with summarizing a little bit about the bill that we're talking about today, NDAA, the authorization for military. And most of it's bad news. It's too much money to do nothing beneficial to this country. At the same time, there's a few things in there that were worthwhile, that at least they're talking about it. There were a few good things in there. Of course, they removed it. The establishment got it removed in the conference. But there was a move to restrain the government's power to support the war in Yemen and to hold off on invading another country like Iran. So at least they're talking about it. But it also shows that the bipartisan support for the restraint of our aggressive foreign policy is not there. But at least there's a little bit of activity. We have to do our very best to explain to people why it's important to let them hear about it. Because right now they're in the driver's seat and they're running the show, and the people don't hear much about it, and they go along with it because of the propaganda. You know, it's war propaganda, spending propaganda, Federal Reserve propaganda. But if this doesn't lead to a total disaster, then I'll be real surprised, because this kind of spending, this kind of distortion, this kind of involvement overseas ends up badly. And I see it in the long term about how long the empires last and how long currencies last. And ours is coming to an end, which overall should be a good sign, because we're running out of steam. And people say, what do you mean you want bad times for people? No, I want an opportunity to restore our senses and to not allow this whole country to become like some of our inner cities are like. People say, oh, you know, if you don't do this, if you don't finance this, you're going to have problems. Yes, and they're not going to accept it politically. But the argument for it is, if you did it and people had to pull back a little bit, you don't have to wait until the whole country looks like what's happening in our inner cities. And it's not complicated. We just have to emphasize the importance and the principles of non-interventionism. We ought to mind our own business, that we ought to protect ourselves. But the goal should be that we define precisely what the role of government ought to be, and that is to protect liberty, not to manage the economy, not to manage our lives, and not to try to manage and tell the world how to live. If we did that, not complicated at all, save a lot of money, and would give us a lot more of our liberties back. So I think that's a worthy goal. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.